Jesus comes in sounds of gladness. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Great Britain is buzzing this week over the upcoming, hopefully, birth of a child to the royal family. The Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, is expecting a baby. Some think maybe twins. And she's therefore expecting an heir to the royal throne in Britain. And already she's had to be hospitalized for fear that her baby might be in trouble and that the unborn life of her child might already be in danger. Isn't it interesting to think that how far the fear of death can reach, even into a womb. And even a child who is born potentially to earthly royalty from kingly ancestry and to one of the wealthiest couples in the world, healthy young couple, with access to the best health care that there probably will ever be in the world, even that little baby in the womb has to be afraid of dying. That little child inside of her is already dwelling in the prison of death, even before birth. It's really something, the devastating power and control and domination that this nasty enemy of death has over us. Our text talks about that through the fear of death, all our lifetime we are subject to bondage, even from conception. All our lifetime, we are subject to bondage to this death. And even a little baby in the womb has to be concerned about it and the power that the devil holds with this vicious, nasty enemy. Following the fall into sin, God gave his pronouncement to each of the individuals there in the garden, certainly to the devil, and then to Eve and to Adam, and spoke these words to Adam: "Dust you are, and from dust you shall return." What a statement. Dust you are, talking to you and me too. Dust you are, and from dust you will return. The word Adam itself means dirt. It means ground and earth. Years ago when I was a parish pastor, at funerals, a funeral director would often offer me a little vial about the size of a medicine bottle, a little vial of very finely ground sand. And it was like sugar or even smaller particles than sugar. And the intent was that during the committal ceremony at the graveside, you would take that vial of dust in your hand, and as you spoke the words from the Book of Common Prayer, you would pour this on the casket. Earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And that fine dust and sand would sprinkle down on that casket. And I would put those little bottles back in my pocket and, without thinking about them, find them and the little fine particles that were left of sand in my suit pocket months later, maybe the next time I wore that black suit again. And I thought, how fitting and appropriate that I would carry the dust symbolic of our death with me all the time. It's even in my clothes until I took them to the dry cleaner. How fitting it is that in the midst of life we are in death. We carry the dust of death all around us. Have you ever noticed if you're sitting on a couch or a chair and in real intense sunlight is coming in and you smack it on the cushion and all the dust particles that go up and how it just fills the air and you realize I'm breathing this all the time and you just don't even think about it? It takes that intense sunlight to really expose how much dust there is around us all the time and that we're breathing that in all the time. And along with the dust are, this is where it gets gross, along with the dust are also dust mites. And just to show you how completely death is around us, I'm going to read you something off of Wikipedia about dust mites, okay? Get ready to get grossed out. Here we go. Listen to this. Dust mites are a nesting species that prefer a dark, warm, and humid climate, and they flourish in mattresses, bedding, upholstered furniture, and carpets. Their feces, it's getting really gross now, their feces include enzymes that are released upon contact with a moist surface, which happens when a person breathes it in, and these enzymes actually kill cells within the human body. If that doesn't gross you out, I don't know what will. To think of it, the very breath that we draw in on this prison of this world, the very breath that we breathe in, contains tiny little particles of things that are trying to attack and kill our bodies. Does that give a whole new meaning to the expression, in the midst of life we are in death? I guess so. The only one who has domination and power over this prison that we are living in and breathing in is the Almighty God Himself. He is the only one that could rescue us. And that's the beautiful announcement that our text gives us. Listen again. Inasmuch then as the children, that's us, have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself, this is the Son of God, likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, even from the point of our conception. It would take heavenly royalty. It would take the birth of a divine heavenly king of kingly heavenly origins and ancestry to enter our world in order to release us from this prison. And He did this intentionally. The all-living, all-powerful God, the one who created life in the beginning, the one who alone holds the power over all death, wraps Himself in the form of one of us, a fellow human being, and goes through the process of conception and birth and childhood and adolescence and adulthood, ultimately with the intent of rescuing us from this prison. Think of the irony. God hides your release from this prison of death in the execution of His Son. One commentator said it this way: to Christ, death is not a dreaded thing inflicted on Him against His will, but rather something He has consciously chosen to do for your release. What great paradoxical irony. The very act that defeats death is a death, the death of a carpenter's son. It's as if when Christ was being executed in the electric chair of the cross, He looked at death itself and said, "Death, I will be your death." And He turns to us and says, "Whosoever lives and believes in Me will never die." Now think how precious you being alive and your actual life and eternal life is to God. He could have given this aid to the angels, but they did not register high enough as far as requiring this type of a rescue. You did. God wants you to someday get to breathe heavenly, purified air that has no death particles in it. And so if there is any birth in the world that should cause a buzz around the world, it is the birth of this great Savior King. And by faith now may we live in Him and someday eternally with Him. May we say with the whole church, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. O come, thou rod of Jesse's stem, from every foe deliver them that trust thy mighty power to save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Amen. Thank you.